Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget, when you get there, subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, and if you do, you'll get the article this week where I explain all about how to avoid the field of dreams myth, which is if you build it, they will come. That's a big myth, folks, in small business. And so I talk about that in that article, and that's what you can get if you subscribe this week. Floyd Hurd is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and Floyd is an author. He's a speaker. He's a trainer. He's a playwright. He's a raconteur. You name it, he can do it. He's basically a Renaissance man, and I have no idea what he wants to talk about. All I can say, as I mentioned earlier, is buckle your seatbelts. Floyd Hurd is in the building. Floyd, welcome back.
James, what do you know?
I don't know.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Hey, listen, you make me sound like a man without an anchor anywhere. I do this, I do that. You know, it's like...
What do you do, Floyd? What is it that you do?
You know, Jim, I get up in the morning, I think, what am I going to
do? Oh, you're also a stone cutter, aren't you?
I'm a sculptor, man. That's what I'm doing as much as anything else. Actually, I just got back...
I forgot about that.
Well, I got back from Santa Fe a couple of days ago from a screenwriting class. So I'm in the middle of this screenplay. It's really kind of funny.
And I called you a playwright, but you're really a screenwriter.
Do you know what the chance of selling a screenplay are?
One in a billion.
Oh, boy, I wish it were. I'd be writing a lot more.
Worse odds than that?
More than 9 billion. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. So what's been happening in your fun-filled life? What is this article about, if they build it, they will come? I've not seen that, Jim.
Well, this is the field of dreams myth. You know, remember the field of dreams myth?
Yeah.
The field of dreams movie where the voice told Ray Kinsella, if you build it, he will come.
Uh-huh.
And I sometimes think small business, and I know small business owners believe sometimes that if they just start a small business, that the customers will come. And that's a myth.
Well, I will. Let me just, and I hate to do this. This is really going to hurt a lot, but yeah. I'm going to have to agree with you.
Oh no!
I mean, it's just, you know.
How could this happen?
Let's just hang up, right? I mean, let's just.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better for me than that.
Well, you know, and you know what? As you well know, I owned an advertising agency for 17 years, roughly. And it was the most amazing thing to me to have people walk into my office and say, you know, I make these little things out of wire, and boy, everybody just loves them, and I'm going to go into business.
Right.
And, you know, I would look at them and say, all right, let's start thinking about this. How many of those do you have to make to just pay your rent?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, as you say, they believe that if they make these things, people are going to flock to them. They don't. They don't.
Remember when the cigar bars were popular 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Well,
yeah.
I actually had somebody write me an email from some little town over in one of the Carolinas somewhere. I've forgotten, but it's a fairly small town, and I knew the area, and they said they wanted to start a cigar bar. And they wanted me to help them do that. Wanted me to give them some tips on how they could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you have any idea how many cigar bars don't make it in Washington, D.C., and New York City, and Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to open up a cigar bar in a little town in North Carolina? And you know, it's you've got to understand how many people in your market actually can buy what you have to sell, don't you?
Well, and that's sort of, I don't know how you managed to do this, but that leads us into the topic of conversation today. You know,
I'm the king of segue.
Well, but you didn't even know you were segueing into what I wanted to talk about.
I knew.
It's really sort of strange. Do you know what else I'm thinking? I mean, if you do, then it's a little scary here, James.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk about things like market opportunities, finding some market opportunities, because I could not agree more. And when someone comes to you with their new idea, and you run the numbers, it's as if you kill their puppy.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, here's your little dog. Let me just smash you on the head with a baseball bat because they're so vested in it, and they've never really sat down and said, now, wait a minute, is there an opportunity here? Mm-hmm. So, the first element, oh, and they're not the first, but there's not necessarily an order here. But the thing you look at first is, what can you supply? What are you really supplying? If you can supply number one, let's find something that's in short supply, something that's not out there. An example might be a vehicle that doesn't use gasoline. Then that's not out there, right? So you think, well, I've got this new idea of a gasoline-free automobile. Well, guess what? You've probably got a market, all things considered. So I found something that's in reasonable short supply. If I'm looking around my market and there's a market for something that no one's doing, short supply.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Floyd. We're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Floyd Hurt after these messages. He's the author of Live Like You Mean It. Stay with us. We're back. 1710. That's Booker T and the MGs. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Floyd Hurt is our guest and our good friend, the author of Rousing Creativity and Live Like You Mean It. And Floyd's our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust. And we're talking about, Floyd, we're talking about how to make sure that if you go into business, that you've decided, you've determined, you've made some good faith effort, some reasonable effort to find out if there actually is a market for what you want to sell.
Absolutely. We were talking about marketing, finding something that's in short supply. And, you know, Jim, you may, I'm sure, because you are such an intelligent guy and you read everything, contemporarily, oil refineries are running at 97% capacity.
We have not had a new refinery built in the United States in something like 25 years.
Now, I spent a number of years in the food industry, and I know that when the maximum efficiency of a plant is between 80 and 87%, because you need the downtime to clean and make adjustments and things like that.
Now, just like an apartment complex should never be 100% occupied. It should always be around 95% occupied.
Yeah, and now you can't have a country dependent on oil with the manufacturing capacity running at 97%, because you lose one refinery and suddenly oil is no longer $2.12, it's $5.60.
Right.
So now this notion, as a business person, finding something in short supply, when you look at, I mean, and oil is a pretty big thing. Most small businesses are not going to get in the oil business. But you can find an area where you're saying, let me see what else I can do. What else can I do to supply that market that is potentially so vulnerable? Mm-hmm. And it may be things like, you know, there's a Vespa place, and they're selling motor scooters, mm-hmm. maybe golf carts, maybe a whole new system. You know, I was in Washington not long ago riding on a Segway. You ever done a Segway?
I have not, but I wanted to.
Oh, man.
Is it easy to drive?
Oh, it's
fun. Tell them what the Segway is.
It's the two-wheel thing you stand up on, and you lean forward or lean backwards, and it goes right or left.
You drive it with your feet, don't you, basically?
You hold on
to handlebars, but you drive it with your feet.
You drive it with your weight. When you lean forward, it goes forward. When you lean back, it goes back. These are the emerging things, and when oil starts going up like this, new markets start coming about, which brings me to my second market opportunity. Find, you know, an existing product or service that you can market in a superior way. How do you take the technology of a golf cart and enclose it and make it an urban vehicle? You know, we don't think about these things necessarily, and, you know, you face all these problems with local administrations.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to drive and park in Washington, D.C., it's impossible.
Right.
So one has to say, what else can I do to supply a market that is already falling apart? You know, ask some questions about what you're doing, or ask people what they're missing. You know, people will say, boy, it just costs me too much money to drive my car, as an example. Or, you know, it's really hard for me to stop in every morning and pick up Starbucks coffee. So I am now looking for market opportunities for an existing product. What can I do with coffee? Could I make a quick drive-in place where someone could pick it up?
Well,
what can I do differently?
The thing that you said that is so important is something that the small business owners need to do more of than they've ever done before, and that's to ask their customers, why are you here? Why do you want my stuff? How do you use it? When do you want it? Where do you use it? And how would you like for it to be delivered? Those kinds of questions, that's where your opportunity is. The opportunity is not in coffee. The opportunity is not in golf carts. The opportunity is how, and also, Floyd, how much time could I save you?
Yep.
That's where the opportunity is, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, you know, if you happen to be a dry cleaner, you don't necessarily want to get into the golf cart business. Okay. But, you know, you've got to understand your core business. What is your primary selling proposition of your business? What am I doing? And, you know, a lot of times I talk to small business owners. Oh, they go, you know, well, I'm just trying to help people, you know, do their yard work. And that doesn't work. You know, maybe a landscaping group. What are you really trying to do? Is it beautification? Is it maintenance? Is it grass maintenance? What are you really doing and doing well? And to your point exactly, walk in and say, what am I not giving you? What is the market giving you?
We're not small business owners are not so much guilty of not asking the right kinds of questions. They're I think guilty too often of not asking any questions.
Let me build on that. I also think they're not interested in the answers.
Well, that's probably true because they're afraid that it's going to hurt their feelings or they're going to ask for something that we don't want to do.
Absolutely, and also they're so vested in what they're currently doing that, you know, they
right.
say, well, you know, I can't do that. One of my favorite put-downs of someone, and I try to find as many put-downs as I possibly can because
you're the best at it.
Well, I have no friends. See, that's what I try to do. I keep all my friends to a minimum. But, you know, when you're talking to someone and they ask you a question, like, do you think we should go to town? I'll make it very simple. And you go, well, yeah, I think we should. And they go, well, yeah, but what about the such-and-such? The best thing you can do is rephrase it and say to someone, okay, ask me the question again. And they look at you like you've lost your mind. Mm-hmm. And they go, okay, well, do you want to go to town? And then you look at them and say, what answer do you want me to give you? Because you're not really listening to what I'm saying. The hardest thing for people to do is to have a dialogue, not a monologue. A dialogue is the thing where business people will find answers to their questions with their customers.
Well, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Where's the opportunity? Where is the opportunity? You know, tell me, do you find waiting in line here a difficult thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What can we do to make it easier for you? How can I make that work for you? I'll tell you, you know, I will not tell you the company, but the way most customers are treated is so shabby, it's amazing we go back. I have shopped, and I will tell you the name of the company, and I might get sued, but that's all right, because then I'll sue you. Sears. I have shopped at Sears my whole life.
Right.
You walk in my shop and 90% of the tools are Sears.
Right.
We'll talk about that when I come back.
Yeah, hold on to that thought. Floyd's not through insulting Sears. We're going to do that on the other side of these messages. It's 10 till. The attorneys are gathering together there, Floyd. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Nothing is going right.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Floyd Hurt, the author of Live Like You Mean It. Floyd, where can we get this book?
Online, Amazon. You just, you know, call them and say, I ain't got it. Tell them to get it.
Amazon, go to Amazon or any of the bookstores like that, folks. Live Like You Mean It by Floyd Hurt, and they'll order it for you. Is Rising Creativity still out there?
If you work at it, you can get it, yeah.
You try it hard enough?
Sure. Yeah, if you're in need, call me.
Folks, the things that we're talking about actually are things that you can, that Rising Creativity will help you with if you want to check that out. By Floyd Hurt, and the last name is H-U-R-T. Floyd, you were talking about Sears. That's
well, and I, you know, what I'm trying to get to, Jim, is when I went in there, you know, Sears historically has had this guarantee. Mm-hmm. On their Craftsman tool.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money
back. And, you know, it is big companies nowadays, this is my problem. Big companies, you walk in, I said, I had three sanding belts. Now, you know, a 3x21 sanding belt is about $1.80, right? And they were falling apart. I went in and said to the girl, I want to get some new ones. She said, do you have your receipt? I said, no, but they're Craftsman belts. And she said, I can't do anything about it.
So they've changed the policy then.
Well, but, you know, it's $1.99.
Yeah.
I said, fine. I went to Lowe's. I spent $171 on other things. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what small
Well, what you're saying is that this is an example of how, and this is not just big companies that are this way, Floyd. It's service in general in America. This is how small business owners can, one of the ways they can, it's low-hanging fruit. Opportunities to differentiate yourself
and
to make people come back.
Thing. It's the simplest thing you can do. You know, and if somebody gives you a credit card, guess what's on that credit card? Their name. Mr. Hurt, thanks for coming in. It is not hard. But, you know, when you when you walk in and they look at you, there's a hardware store here I go into all the time. Every time I walk in there, they look at me like they've never seen me before.
Mm-hmm.
This is not rocket science. Make me if there were other hardware stores, guess what? I would go to another hardware store.
And the thing is, Floyd, if that hardware store, which is probably not the lowest priced products in the area, if every time you walked in they said, "Hi, Mr. Hurt, what project can I help you with today?" you wouldn't care what the price was, would you?
No, I don't. You know, price is like you spend 99 cents on a bolt or $1.06. I don't care. You know, I agree. If he's concerned about what I'm doing and he has some relationship with me, relationship marketing, we've heard this before, he doesn't have to be my best buddy. He really doesn't.
But
he has to acknowledge the fact that he's seen me before. I'm not some stranger.
But if
and
he
this
knows
is
you're,
really not hard.
But if he knows you're doing some sculpting and he has a new tool or he reads an article or he sees something that might be of interest to you and he calls you or sends you an email and says, "Mr. Hurt, I thought you might be interested in this." How often is that going to make you go back to that store?
Well, look at Amazon.com. As soon as I go on to Amazon, it says books that might interest you. They know that I ordered this book last time. Now these three books might be of interest to you. It's a wine guy. You know, if you go to a really good wine store, he says, "I know you like, you know, Pinot Grigio. Here's some new Pinot Grigio for you." I'm going to go back. This is not the reason I think Cheers. You remember Cheers, the television program?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows your name.
Is because everybody identified sort of with those guys as being in an environment where they felt welcome, they knew who they were, and they had a really good consanguinity with that group.
But even if you are capable of doing what we're talking about right now, you still have to have something that people want.
Absolutely. You know, you can't sell junk that people don't want. So you've got to find those market opportunities, and that's what we were talking about before. What is not being answered in your market? And this is really a question of just talking to people. Tell me what you need. Tell me what we're not giving you. Tell me why you bought this somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your customers.
And don't just think about, you know, and you said what is not being not available. It's not just what. It's also how and when and why.
Product, place, position, you know, all those sorts of things. Yeah, can I find it on the shelves? Make sure that you're studying your and do some mystery shopping. Send people in. Do some mystery shopping. Find out how they feel. Find somebody who doesn't know anything about your store and send them in and say, "What did you learn? Was it easy to manipulate? Was it easy to move around? Did you find the people friendly?" You know, this is not hard stuff. You can go out and find some little lady and say, "I'm going to give you $20 to go in my store and walk around and come back and tell me what you saw. What did you see? What did you find? How did you feel?" You know, and I know these are all sort of soft sounding, like "how did you feel?" But, you know, people buy emotionally and defend rationally.
Because they buy what they want more than what they need these days.
Absolutely. And, you know, if I walk in, it's nice, the environment's friendly, it's easy for me to shop, it's easy for me to talk to sales clerks, guess what, I'm probably going to go back again.
And if you're afraid of what you might learn, you probably need to be learning that stuff. Thank you, Floyd, for being here. Good job today.
Jim, try to behave.
It's always a pleasure. Floyd Hurt, ladies
and gentlemen. Fried chicken.
Don't unbuckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Floyd Hurt has not yet left the building. He'll be back another day. Quick, actually, I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.